cliffcentral.com. In the Northern Hemisphere, there's a man called Adam Braun who's running something very, very decent that I think we should all know about. It's called Pencils of Promise. He's on at the moment. He's joining us live from the US. Are you in New York, Adam? Is that where you are right now?
I'm actually in San Francisco right now. Okay. I recently moved to San Francisco after almost a decade in New York.
Okay, so even worse time difference. I'm sorry. It must be really, really late at night for you.
No, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Happy to be here.
Well, it's nice to talk to you. Let me let everybody in on who you are. You are an American entrepreneur, best-selling author, philanthropist, and you founded this organization called Pencils of Promise. Apparently, you met some young guy in India. He was begging for you thought, money, and you asked him, you know, what he wanted. He said to you, all he wanted is a pencil.
Mm-hmm.
Is that about right?
Yeah, that's correct. I was at the time just a university student traveling as a backpacker, and basically had a habit of asking one child in each country that I went through one question. It was, if you could have anything in the world, what would you want most? And, you know, I thought I'd hear these big lofty answers. And in India, there was a street beggar, and he said if he could have anything, he'd want a pencil. I had one on me. I gave it to him. He just kind of, you know, really lit up. I started asking questions. This young boy had never been to school before, and it was really inspiring to kind of recognize that he was looking for tools of self-empowerment. And, you know, years later, decided to found an organization in honor of that young boy called Pencils of Promise to build schools around the world.
It's incredible because it's sometimes the smallest things that get something huge like this rolling and get things happening.
Yeah, definitely.
And now all over the world, you're busy doing this. Is it a very time-consuming process for you? Is it very hard work? Does it mean that you have to have people in teams all over the world doing the building and providing the money and fundraising and all of that stuff? How does the whole thing work?
Yeah, so I founded the organization back in 2008. At the time, I was working a corporate job and, you know, certainly had a good lifestyle, good income, all that stuff. But I was kind of missing a sense of purpose. And my grandmother was turning 80, and she's a Holocaust survivor and, you know, really the heart and soul in a lot of ways of my family. And I wanted to find a way to honor her in her lifetime, let her know that her legacy would carry on for generations. And I had this big idea to build one school in Laos initially, you know, one of the poorest countries in the world, you know, a landlocked country that doesn't get a lot of international support and just tremendous poverty. And so I was turning 20, asked my friends to come out and celebrate a birthday party and, you know, kind of give $20 at the door to help me build one school. And I put $25 into a bank account to open this up. And the first few years, all the money was really just crowdsourced, small contributions through, you know, events or online outreach. And, you know, we started to raise decent amounts of money. And in 2010, I left my job to work on it full time. Wow. And then since then, it's just kind of grown like gangbusters. And, you know, now there's over 100 full-time staff in four different countries around the world. And I actually don't, you know, run it anymore. I recently replaced myself after 7 years with a new CEO, a guy who's been involved in education for about 30 years and just really, really stellar leader. And so, yeah, it certainly took a lot from myself and that early team. And now there are, you know, a tremendous amount of people who work on it because we have well over 300 schools around the world now. So it's become quite a substantial operation.
That's incredible. You mentioned your family and your grandmother, who's the heart and soul of the family. You said that she was a Holocaust survivor, and you've got an incredible family. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's you and three siblings. Most of us will know about Scooter, Sam, mm-hmm. who's Justin Bieber's manager. And obviously that has helped too, because he's managed to get involved and bring a lot of attention to, you know, your Pencils of Promise. I assume that your other two siblings are as big overachievers as you and Sam are. Otherwise, it would be kind of sad if one of you was a Nachschlepper that you kind of hadn't done anything in their lives.
No. I have two blood siblings. My older brother, Scott, who goes by Scooter, my younger sister, Liza, who's a dermatologist. And so, you know, we like to joke that she's the one who's actually going to, you know, really end up you know, doing the greatest things because she's been a little bit under the radar while working away at medical school. But I have no doubt she'll make a really big stamp on the world. And then my parents took in two boys from Mozambique when I was in high school. And so I have two other brothers, Sam and Cornelio. And, you know, they're kind of really the pride and joy of the family because they're, you know, the embodiment of that kind of traditional idea of the American dream. And they immigrated to this country and they're both doing great.
That's amazing. It's incredible. I mean, what a story too. Your parents must be really proud of all the things that they set the right example, right, for you to want to get involved in things.
Definitely.
Like this.
Yeah. I mean, they're certainly happy, but you know, I think they're the type who've always kind of expected, you know, the bar to keep getting set higher and higher. And so while there's certainly a sense that, you know, we're proud of the accomplishments, I think there's also the humility to recognize that we still all, you know, certainly have hopefully a larger mark to be left.
So, you know, education is obviously something we think about a lot in South Africa. It's something that concerns us because there are in state schools even such a number of concerns over the quality of that education. And there are many people in South Africa who can't get a decent level of education. Without that, there's no hope for a country. You expect children to be able to change their own circumstances by becoming educated and empowering themselves. This is kind of what you're doing in countries like Laos, right?
Yeah. I mean, so we work directly with local communities, really seek to empower the local leadership, whether that's parents, you know, elders, teachers, village chiefs. And so it started in Laos and then expanded to Nicaragua and Guatemala and then eventually Ghana. So that Ghana, we opened up in 2012. And by the end of this year, we should reach 100 schools there.
That's amazing. Do you think this is even the kind of thing that you could now look on and say, well, I've done enough? Or is there this burning desire to keep on pushing on?
You know, my hope is that, you know, the culture of the organization is certainly the type that says, you know, there's always more work to be done. The challenge that we're addressing, which is global education, is one that, you know, doesn't have a defined solution occurring within the next, you know, couple of years. There's still, you know, a really, really big challenge ahead. You know, in terms of my personal situation, you know, I think one of the things that you kind of recognize as you start to mature in age is just that, you know, your interests start to evolve. And one of the big challenges that I started to actually come across was, you know, the kind of horrific systemic problems within higher education in the U.S. You know, I was kind of once the organization started to grow, and then I wrote my book, which is called The Promise of a Pencil, How an Ordinary Person Can Create Extraordinary Change. And it's on Amazon and pretty much every local, you know, retailer. If anyone out there is listening, wants to pick it up.
Sure.
I started to do a lot of public speaking, and all these individuals were asking me the same question. They were saying, this is great, all these things you're doing across the developing world, but what about some of our challenges here at home? And I never had a great answer. And then I met my wife, who's actually South African, and she came to the States when she was 9. And, you know, it was just hit with a tremendous amount of student debt. College has just become so overpriced in the U.S., and it doesn't really connect to the value that they're charging of students. And so I'm now working on another new company called Mission U, and hopefully it's going to be a college alternative for the 21st century.
Does that South African wife of yours tell you to come and visit here every now and then?
Oh, yeah, all the time. We went there about 2 years ago. She still has a lot of family in the area.
Right.
It was really just her folks and her sisters that came over. So still a lot of family, and, you know, we both have a deep love for the country.
Well, next time you're around, give us a call, and all the best with Pencils of Promise and all the other good things that you're doing.
My pleasure.
All right, man. There we go. There's Adam Braun, and we'll check in again and see what's going on over there. But he's doing amazing stuff, and it's good to bring a spotlight onto these things. You know, good people doing good things. Because all we hear in the news is about politicians and people screwing up left, right, and center. Here's a guy who's doing good, and it's nice to see. So there we are. How do you feel about your day, and how much are you doing? Huh? Sia, you feeling a bit lazy there?
Now overwhelmed. It's like, what have I done with my life?
Yeah, he's building hundreds of schools. I mean, it's incredible. Cliffcentral.com.